Welcome. It is Larry Sharp back here at the Gov Shack. Yes, I'm back. It has been a couple of weeks. I know I was away for a couple of weeks trying to get out there and actually make some money for me and my family. Yes, I've been actually knocking on doors and going back into businesses and teaching back at colleges and doing the things that I need to do to actually generate some funds for myself. So that's where I've been, but I'm back again in this December. And the best part about being back here on the Gov Shack is just last week, I was back upstate again. Yes, I was back upstate. I was in several cities last week, several towns, I should say. I was in Albany. I was in Hudson. I was over at Grand Gorge. I was in, Schenectady. So I was up in all those areas, saying hi, shaking hands, and kissing babies. And there were certain things that I really enjoyed about being back in action again. Now, the funny thing about being back in action, meaning back up on the trail, back out in New York State, New York City again, is I'm meeting a lot of people who didn't vote for me. I'm saying it again. I'm meeting lots of people who didn't vote for me, but they're coming to my events. It's kind of weird, huh? Well, why are they coming to my events? Because they're thinking, I should have voted for that guy. Yeah, they probably should have. But it's just good that I'm seeing that now, because it realizes that the message that we put out, and many of you helped me put out, the message that we were talking about, things we were talking about, actual change, making a difference, I think people are still seeing it. I think people are getting it. People actually are realizing that they made an error and they voted the old ways and they got no difference. So there is a bit of regret that's happening right now. And you know what? It's not sweet. I wish there wasn't any regret. It'd be better. But considering what happened, regret's not a bad consolation prize, if that makes any sense. So, and the thing I'm also seeing is people voted for me aren't regretful. They're super happy. They're like, yes, that's what I should have done. I'm happy I did it. As many of you have heard, you have people now who are on the left who voted for Cuomo. And then after they voted for Cuomo, they went and they protested Amazon. Yeah, you shouldn't be protesting Amazon after you voted for Cuomo. You should just protest it on the day and not vote for Cuomo. That would have been a lot easier. Or people who are mad about the SAFE Act 2 coming and red flag laws, yet they voted for the same old Republican who didn't care. Yeah. One of the things I was saying when I was out there was, I'm out here again. Here I am yet again talking about things that matter, talking about people who are hurting in this state, trying to give some answers and some ideas for what the next step is. And I asked, I said, where are the other guys? Yeah, they're nowhere. I said they'd go nowhere. I said they'd be nowhere. And they're nowhere. No difference. Things haven't changed. So that was kind of sad. There's a good thing, though, also to this. And that was when I went back to actual work, just to go back to college, teaching in colleges, go back to teaching in businesses, executive coaching again, which I do for my own living. I found people were very interested in talking about the campaign, even those who didn't vote for me and those who did. And many of them don't live in New York City, New York State. They actually couldn't vote for me. So, but some of them could and did. But still, the issue was there were people who were really interested in talking about it and happily didn't affect my business. People weren't like, you're a libertarian. I'm not working with you anymore. I was afraid that might happen. Didn't happen at all. People were like, no, Larry, I like what you had to say. So I don't care what party you were. Amazing. Some people didn't care what party I was. Not too shabby. There's a lot of good things that are happening. I know that overall there isn't change, and for some of you that's very sad, and we're going to pack up and go and leave and feel depressed. I get that. But there are some good things happening too. And I hope that if you're a New Yorker and you're saying I'm disappointed that the election went the way it went, understand that we're not done. War isn't over. We lost a little bit of a battle, but the war isn't over. And here's a great thing that's happening. We are literally writing rules for our new party now. I'm literally part of the committee writing new rules for the Libertarian Party in New York State, so there will be more of an option for people who care. Now, I know a lot of you in New York State, you don't want to change your party affiliation. You want to keep and stay Democrat or stay Republican. And that's okay. If you want to, that's fine. Remember something. You will now have an option to vote Libertarian when Libertarians are running. That's a good thing for you. But for those of you who aren't loyal to your party, please change your affiliation, right? Head on down, DMV, online, however you want to do it. Change your affiliation to Libertarian if you can and start doing that as soon as possible, right? A good time to start is probably the new year. Good time to start. right? New year, new things, go change. Go change, go to DMV and change, or go online, DMV online, and go ahead and change your party affiliation, re-register to Libertarian. You can. Isn't that amazing? Now that you can do that, it's awesome. Go ahead and do that. We want more and more people to register and also join local parties. But there's something else. Even if you're not going to register, stay connected to this show. Stay connected to the Facebook page. Stay connected to the Twitter account. Stay connected to every single part, because we're not finished. You're going to hear ideas still. You're going to hear what's happening. We're going to talk about what's going on in the press, talk about what's going on in our state. You're still going to hear things that matter. You're still going to hear it. Stay here if you can. I want you to. Something else. You guys probably want me to go around. You want me to still be up in New York. You want me to go upstate and visit you and go visit different counties. I want to also, guess what? That costs money. That means I need you to still donate. I need you to go over to LarrySharp.com and still donate. And what I love is many of you are still donating. They might say, Larry, do I still want to donate, you know, big dollars? You don't have to. I'm happy if you've got big dollars to give. That's amazing. If you're in that world and you have big dollars to give, please give it. But if you're not, I need you to go to LarrySharp.com and do a monthly donation. $5, $10, $20. It's fine. Whatever you think. Every little bit counts. If you can keep that little bit coming, I now have the funds that I need to keep the Facebook ads going, to keep the Twitter account up, to get myself back out there, to meet people, to do events. That's where all the money is going. And if you think, well, Larry, what are you doing with that money? Why don't you do a Patreon account instead? I'm not doing a Patreon account because a Patreon account becomes private. I can do whatever I want with that money. But this is still going to my committee, which means there'll be reports and you can see where I'm spending the money every single time I report. You will know where your dollars are going, and they're going to me traveling, to me helping out with Facebook and social media, to me doing the things that are required, because right now there's no other voice in this state. I wish that wasn't true, but right now that is the fact. So do me a favor, head on over, LarrySharp.com, donate what you can, make it a monthly donation. Look, if you're in a position where you can do $100 or $200, please do that if that's where you are, if you're in that kind of position. If you're not, $5. People give $6, $8, $10, $3. Look, I'm not running a campaign anymore, so I don't require $500,000. It's not required, but every little bit does count. Every little bit does help. So whatever you can give, please do that to the best of your ability, and I will keep going. Doing this costs money too, so every little bit counts. All right. I think I'm done preaching with that. The next thing I want to talk about is, what are we going to do when it comes to the MTA? I'm going to cover that real fast for those people who are downstate. Well, if you're upstate, you care about it too. Why? The MTA has no actual plan to get any better, right? So right now, the governor's going to come on down and he's going to inspect it, because that matters, because that's going to change nothing. $6 billion every single year comes from New York State and goes to the MTA. If you don't live downstate, you're still paying. So you probably should head on to New York and jump on the train, because you're paying for it anyway. $6 billion comes out. And here's the glory of this. Right now, the MTA has a huge problem. And the problem is people jumping fares. Yeah. People not paying. People literally going in, not paying, hopping over the turnstile. Huge problem in the MTA right now. Wow. What are we going to do? Guess what the answer is? Raise rates. I'm not joking. That's their answer. The answer is, since so many people aren't paying, we're losing so much money, we're going to have to raise rates and make service worse. Yeah, they actually said that. Why? There are no repercussions for their bad behavior whatsoever. Let me say that again. There are no repercussions for their bad behavior whatsoever, so they continue the bad behavior. This is not rocket science. This is basic humanity. You reward bad behavior, they maintain the bad behavior. In fact, here's what we do. They're not making enough money. What should we do? Give them more. We now not only reward bad behavior, we reward failure. We reward failure. So instead of, say, maybe, I don't know, putting more cops or making a more efficient system or changing our bus system in New York City, if you've seen it, they changed it recently. Yeah, they spent money to change this system. Now, instead of going on the bus and paying your fare, how people paid for a bus for a bazillion years, however long bus has been around. Is that a bazillion, half bazillion? However long it's been. Now you have to buy your ticket first, then get on the bus, and no one checks it, or they might check it, or who knows. What did I just say? Please don't pay. I wonder why we have fare jumpers. Because you can just get on the bus, and you've got to hope that someone has a ticket. I literally have seen people coming off the bus, giving their ticket to someone else as they come off. They come off, get to someone else, grab a ticket. So I paid when I was in Brooklyn, and as the bus goes through Brooklyn into Manhattan, as I get off, I give my ticket to someone else who's going to Manhattan, they grab a ticket, and they head on in. So you got a piece of paper. So one person paid for two people, half? We wonder why we don't have any fares? They paid money to make this change. They paid money to be less efficient. This is happening again and again and again. No plan. My plan is still on my website. If you want to check it out, you can. If you want to tell your councilman, you can. If you want to tell the mayor, you can. You could do all of those things. We can still make this change. Well, that's not true. We can still tell them about this change. I'm not sure we can make this change, but we can sure tell them about this change. The problem that we have here is no one seems to think anything will change. So they don't bother changing it. The MTA is rewarded for us by behavior. Actually, when I'm sitting, getting ready to go from Queens to Manhattan, this is this week, as I come in, there's signal problems. I know if you're in Manhattan, you know there's always signal problems, right? A woman walks away so angry, she goes, unbelievable. I said, unbelievable? This is totally believable. This is the norm. How can you say this is unbelievable? If I walked in and everything was perfect, then I would go, unbelievable, this is perfect. That's what I would assume be unbelievable. No, she literally said unbelievable. And I said, no, that's the norm. And then someone said, well, there's signal problems. And there's an MTA guy there. And I say, signal problems. I said, oh, is this the first time you've had signal problems? He goes, oh, no, we always have them. I said, I know. And you still haven't fixed them. Yet we have signs now. We have cosmetic changes throughout the entire system. So we have signs now that say, the N train is coming in 5 minutes. The W train is coming in 5 minutes. So now we are more up to date on how shitty our system is. Or we could have fixed the system. No. Now we have signs to show us and to let us know, yeah, wow, we have a bad system. Oh my God, our system is horrible. We're reminded. So they decided instead, let's rub it in. How crappy we are. Let's make sure you know that we suck and you do nothing about it and shut up. This is our answer. And the sad part is what they're actually doing to fix or try to fix it is actually making things worse. The goal now becomes punish Uber, congestion pricing. That's our answer right now. Punish Uber, congestion pricing. Because the problem with the MTA is, I'm not making this up, too many cars in the city. So the answer, the alternative to the MTA, we're going to stop because that's the problem. But then people say, yeah, people coming into the city. Who drives in the city? The wealthy? No, they already live in Manhattan. They don't care. They're going to pay congestion pricing. The poor? No, they don't have cars. Who pays this price? The middle class. The middle class pays this price. And then the poor are punished because they have no other option. So the poor have to sit on a crappy MTA. The middle class get punished with fees. The rich either already live in Manhattan, or if you're wealthy, you can afford the $5 fee because you're wealthy. You don't care. This is a system that feels good when we want to fix it, but does nothing except punish the wrong people and does not fix the problem. You will hear this again and again and again. All right, I'm taking a quick break. I've ranted on MTA for a while. I promise upstate, I'll give you upstate stuff and national stuff also. Just to give you something personal since I've been back in the city working now. Again, this is Larry Sharp at the Gov Shack. Go to LarrySharp.com and donate to support. I'll talk to you after the break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. It's Larry Sharp. You guys don't like me dropping the F-bomb? I dropped the F-bomb. I'm not running anymore. Watch. Fuck. I just dropped the F-bomb. Easy day. I'm on the internet. I can do it if I want to. I'm also not running for office. I don't mind dropping the F-bomb if I have to. Anyway, just teasing. I don't really care either way. The point is, I do want to bring up, someone asked about Amazon. And Amazon is actually moving next to me. Amazon is, what a wonderful idea for me. For no one else in the city except for guys like me. Why? I'm a business consultant. That's what I do for a living, right? What I do for a living is I train people in leadership, sales. I'm an executive coach. I'm a consultant for large and small businesses. It's what I do. So when Amazon comes in, they're literally going to come in next door to me, right? I live in Astoria. Amazon comes in to Long Island City. I'm going to get business. So it's great for me, but it's a terrible idea. Why is it a terrible idea? Because we're going to wind up paying Amazon billions of dollars to show up. Billions. We are literally going to give the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos, over $1 billion so that he can come to our city. If I have to give $1 billion for you to come to my city, you probably shouldn't come to my city. I mean, if I've got to bribe you to come to my state, I've got a pretty crappy state. That should be, we should know this. And this is the norm for us. And if you heard me during a campaign, I brought it up many, many, many times. I would never bribe someone to come to our state. Because here's what is happening now and will happen again. When you bribe someone to come to our state, some big business, it comes to our state, it gets a bunch of bribes. So now it has an advantage because it has bribes. But it's also a big business, so it has even more advantages. So now that big business with advantages crushes all the small businesses around it. They all collapse. How can they possibly compete? They've got big business with bribes. Of course, they lose talent. They lose customers. They lose resources. Gone. They go out of business. When they got a business, what can a big business do? Whatever the hell it wants. There's no more competition. It by default became a monopoly. But not just that. It becomes a monopoly also when it comes to small towns, when it comes to hiring. It has a monopoly on jobs now, too. So if it doesn't want to give raises, it won't. What are you going to do? It's knocked at every other company that can give you another job. So it wants to give you a raise. It doesn't. You do whatever. It has all the talent. So what are you going to do? Now, that won't happen. That part won't happen in New York City. New York City is such a talent magnet that part won't really affect New York City. In fact, here's the worst part about New York City. When Amazon comes here, all those jobs, a bunch of those aren't going to be New York City people. The people they bring from other areas to come in, all those managers. So a bunch of those thousands of jobs are people who already work someplace else and not going to come in here to train new people coming in, right? So a bunch of those better jobs, good jobs, won't even be local jobs. But more importantly, giving them all those billions of dollars, any tax revenue we got is going to go away. In fact, literally during the actual press conference, when de Blasio's talking about how wonderful this is and they're talking about how wonderful this is, Amazon coming, they then say, wait a minute, when Amazon shows up, if all those jobs pop up, the infrastructure in the area is going to be horrible. What should we do? I'm not joking, he said. We'll have to tax the local businesses to fix it. If you didn't give $2 billion to Amazon, you wouldn't have to tax the businesses to fix it, and you could fix it for the local businesses, in which case you wouldn't need Amazon. This is a marketing ploy. Amazon coming to New York City is good for politicians and Amazon. Yet again, the elite win and the average person fails. Because here's the worst part of it all. All the people around this area who actually live or work here are going to suffer. They're going to suffer because of congestion. They're going to suffer because of higher taxes. They're going to suffer. That's going to happen. There will be some people who will do better initially, meaning people like who have diners nearby and service. But once Amazon comes, again, this is great for me personally because I live in Astoria. My property value is going to wind up going up. So good for me. I own my home. It's going to be great for me. Thank you again. Thank you, everybody who's listening, who's in New York State, for paying your tax dollars for my marketing. Appreciate it. That's what just happened, right? So when that happens, all the rents will go up also. So the average diner owner who's or the bagel shop that's making a killing when Amazon pops in is going to go under. And what's going to replace it? A franchise. You see it every time. Why? Because all the rules and regulations and everything that happens, franchises can deal with it. But something else, franchises can negotiate for rents. Larry Sharp and Larry's bagel shop is one bagel shop. I don't have any negotiating power for rent, right? But Starbucks might put four or five Starbucks in. It cannot negotiate for rent. It will have lower rents. I won't at all. Not just that. Starbucks already has a marketing budget. Larry's Bagels doesn't. So I have to have my own marketing budget on top of it. Disadvantage. That happens all the time. Will happen again. I talk about it all the time. And what do people do? We love Amazon because the jobs come in. They're going to make 20,000 jobs. No, they're not. It's going to punish everyone around, as always. If this was the right place for Amazon, we wouldn't have to bribe them. But here's the problem. If you actually wanted the right thing, which is to make this a better place for businesses, that's hard work. That takes a lot of time and money and energy. Oh my God. You know what I can do instead? Marketing ploy, bring Amazon, bribe them, politician looks good, walk away, whatever damage happens, who cares? All right, I've ranted enough on Amazon. Let me grab, this is Ben. Ben, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on, man?
Hey, did you celebrate the Libertarian Party's 47th birthday yesterday?
Oh, yes, it was the birthday of the Libertarian Party, that's right, yes. Was it December 11th, was it, or 10th, what was it again?
It was December 11th.
There we go, December 11th.
Yeah. Did you catch that libertarian presidential debate?
I did not. Didn't Ben Leader do it?
Yes.
Yes. No, I haven't watched it yet. I've been actually working. But no, I already have it. I know where it is. I'm going to be watching it. I will. Yep. I like Kim Ruff was a New Yorker. I think she lived in New York or born in New York, one of the two.
She used to do some things with the Libertarian Party of New York, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep,
there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, hey, would you like to host a debate on your show?
Do I want to host a debate on what show? Am I losing him? Where are you? I think I lost him. Call back. Call back, Ben. Oh, hold on. Are you there? I've lost him.
Hello?
Sorry. Call back when you have a chance. I don't know what happened. Yes, if you want me to host a debate, I'm happy to be an MC4 debate if you like. I do like the idea of having debates. I think they're great. I would rather that be forward with you. And this is something the Libertarian Party does not do very well, only because people don't want to engage. And that is, we don't do very well debating outside of our own people because very few people want to debate us. I tease, right? This is a good and a bad thing. I would say all the time, Libertarians winning arguments and losing elections for the past 40 some odd years. So it's very true. We've lost a lot of elections, but boy, can we debate. And we debate well. And so most of the time, other non-libertarians don't want to debate us. So we wind up debating ourselves, which isn't always the best thing. It can be good, but sometimes it winds up being so bad that we begin hurting ourselves sometimes. But we are good debaters. It's true. You look at libertarians, we tend to be very good debaters. And if we have the opportunity to debate others, we tend to do very, very well. So I do hope we're able to get into more debates. For those of you who know, on the Larry Sharp now is Larry Sharp Libertarian Facebook page and on the YouTube page, there are two debates on it. So if you want to go check those debates out, when I did debate three actually, debated at the Reform Party, I debated at the League of Women Voters, and then I added myself into the CBS 880 debate. So I did that too. All right, let me grab another call if I can. This is Jim. Jim, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, Larry?
What's up?
I have a question.
Okay.
Have you heard anything more about what I think was that lawsuit involving the level of the playing field people in the Commission on Presidential Debates?
Yeah, I think we won something. I'm not really sure. I know Gary Johnson was really on top of that, but then he ran for Senate in New Mexico. So for those of you who don't know, let me give some background. For those of you who don't know, when it comes to the presidential debates, there's no actual law or rule that says a presidential candidate must or must not debate. There's really no law or rule. What used to happen is the League of Women Voters ran it, and they decided, hey, we will create this, we will make it fair and even. But then Ross Perot showed up. And when Ross Perot actually did very well in the 90s, Republicans and Democrats got really scared, and they said, we don't like this at all. And they literally got rid of that. And they started what they call the Bipartisan Commission on Presidential Debates. And that and that commission is not nonpartisan. It's bipartisan. What does that mean? It's not no parties. It's the two parties. And they make sure third parties are not in those debates because they know if third parties are in debates, third parties might win or affect the election. Ross Perot in the 90s taught them that, and they stopped that. That does not happen anymore. Now, New York City has a different rule. In New York City, it's very specific to our city. If you take public funds, meaning also if you are an actual candidate who is in office now taking public funds as your salary, you must debate. That does not exist everywhere. That exists in New York City, not in New York State, and not across the country. So what happened is, I think it was OAI, which is Our America Initiative organization, actually sued and said, this is actually illegal. You can't do that. And I think they won something, but I think it might have been on hold when Gary Johnson ran. So it probably will start back up again in January. But my point, Jim, is I don't think it actually matters. I think the issue is very simple. This really is about two things. Number one, do people want to see you? Number one, if people want to see you in debates, then people will show you in debates. Because the number one issue debates are about is ad revenue. That's what it's about more than anything else. Ad revenue. So if I'm a libertarian candidate and I've got tons of money and I can buy ads on CNN or I can buy ads on MSNBC or I can buy ads on Fox News or whatever I want to buy ads on, PBS, I'm going to be in debates because people want to see me, ad revenue, and on top of that, am I going to get good ratings? Right? Do people want to see me so I can get good ratings? If that happens, we're going to be on. So my answer is, while I hope we win, it's nice. I hope we win. The actual answer is having candidates that, one, have a bunch of money, and two, people want to see. We do that, we're in debates either way. That's how we wind up getting debates. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because, again, I had heard something in 2016. I'm like, okay, you know, maybe in the future we can start getting in debates.
Yes, but the answer is not the lawsuit.
Are willing to debate third parties as if, well, yeah, we can debate them, but it's got to be on the internet.
Yeah, no, they're
sure
not willing. They're not going to debate. It's not in their best interest unless the press says No.
That's how I've seen it. You know?
Yeah. If the press says Larry Sharp, people want to see him, then the press will have me in the debate. That's how it works.
Hello?
Yes. All right, Jim. Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right, guys, thank you so much. I have more calls I want to grab. Some people I want to talk to here who are texting me also. But let's take a quick break, and I'll chat with you in 2 minutes.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio, Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Gov Shack. I'm back. Some of you talking about mic is hot during the break. I don't really mind. It's okay. If you want to listen in, keep listening. I'm just showing respect to people who have paid and want to have their ads run, and I respect that. So I hope I'm not stopping you from hearing those also. But if you hear me talk during a break, that's fine. I don't mind at all. We were just talking about a couple of things. One of them was the idea that Spectrum here, which is be Time Warner Cable, is not actually doing well in New York State. And personally, in this actual building, it's doing very poorly. And here's the funny part. It's a monopoly. What? A monopoly not be very effective and efficient? I've never heard that before. So now New York State is considering getting rid of Spectrum because they're so bad. By the way, they're terrible. And this is not just my opinion. Ask anybody who has Spectrum. They're terrible. They're so bad, we're going to throw them out of New York State. You can't have a monopoly anymore. You know what New York State is going to do? Have a different monopoly. Because that'll work. Why would we think that? Monopolies don't work. But we're doing it anyway. So we're going to try to get rid of Spectrum and see if that'll happen. Terrible idea. Not going to happen. All right. Anyway, let's move on. I'm going to grab Samantha. Samantha, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I actually had a question for you. First of all, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Tech problems today, huh?
Hello?
Yes, just keep talking, Samantha. I hear you.
Oh, sure. I wanted to know, how do you feel about the policy issues in government versus actual, administrative issues? I feel like in New York City especially, there's not really a need for policy issues. Sorry.
Go ahead.
There's a lot of policy issues, I feel like, especially in this country, in New York City, that we get caught up in versus... Sorry, this is, not working.
I hear you perfectly. Keep talking.
Is it working or no?
Yes, keep talking.
I think there's a delay in the feed.
Okay. I'm not sure. Well, I guess tech problem today, guys. I don't know what's going on. Must be something. If other people are all having the same problem, it must be us. It's that horrible Spectrum. So I think what she's saying is the idea of dealing with policy issues versus ideology. It's my assumption. If that's true, let me know. If not, you know what? Tell my engineer your question now, and then I'll put you on. And in case I can't get you, I'll have my engineer tell me what the question is. Maybe that'll be better. But something actually happened. It's funny. I was at an event in Westchester about 2 or 3 weeks ago, And someone was talking about the idea of we need, you know, more policy and less rhetoric and more policy and less rhetoric. I would actually say the opposite. And it sounds crazy, but I need to be forward with my own campaign. One thing I did not do very well is find good rhetoric, right? I didn't have the equivalent of build that wall. I didn't have the make America great again. I didn't have that rhetoric. It simply wasn't as good as I wish it was. I wish I had better rhetoric. What I had was tons of policy. I had lots of, in fact, I was the only one who had any policy. So if someone actually cared about the policy, they could read it. But the issue is, and many of you heard me talk about this, if you want someone to actually make the first step, the second step, and read policy, they have to first have an emotional connection first, right? If they have the emotional connection and go, oh, I like that guy, or this makes sense, or that's great, then they go read the policy. I wasn't good enough in the things that I came up with. I had lots of, like you guys talk about, you know, break the status quo, regulate like onions. Yes, absolutely. But I don't think it was good enough.
Here's a question. What, where is it? Oh, sorry. Can you read it to me if you don't mind?
Sure. It says, sorry, I wanted to know if you have any ideas how to engage people more with actual administrative issues and not get caught in policy or religious debates.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, yes. So I was a little bit off, but yes. The point I want to bring up is you do want to have some good rhetoric. I tried to have more rhetoric. It wasn't as good. I couldn't beat the make America great again or to lock her up or to build that wall. I mean, Trump is just good at that stuff. That's he has no policy. But man, does he have rhetoric. And I need to be able to have more rhetoric than policy. But there was a specific reason why I spent time doing policy. Because very often, libertarians spend a lot of time on theory. And this may be where Samantha's going. She's talking about theory, what government should be, how government should act, what should be the ideas behind it, the ideology, which is important too. But again, if the average person doesn't look at ideology like that, they just don't. They look at how's it going to affect me or is there a cool lock her up saying. So I have to find those two and be better at those two. But I spent a lot of time on policy. Why? Because I wanted to create an actual policy library. So that other people who are in the movement could pick it up. So the people running in the state could grab it and just take it and use it. But something else. I wanted to focus and let people know that the Libertarian Party and Liberty Movement has actual answers. It's not just, we hate the other guys. There are actual answers right here that we have that we can fix things. We can make your life better without raising taxes. We can make your life better without enforcing new rules. We can make your life better without having to put you in prison. We can do those things. You don't see that in the other parties. You know, this is a story that just drove me crazy, and it's kind of controversial in a way, but I think maybe you'll get what I'm talking about. There was a story, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, here on Long Island downstate. There was a kid who I assume from the story, somehow got out of his daycare. Kid was young, like 5 or 6. And the kid was on the street, on the corner. Someone came by, saw the kid, called 911. The cops came by, picked the kid up. What did they do? They went to the daycare, which was someone's home, arrested the owner, put her in jail, shut the daycare down. That was the answer. And what you heard everyone on the news reporting it, oh, so good, they got it, blah, blah. Why was that the first answer? Do we know why that kid was out there? Was the owner even there when it happened? What was it, a manager who let it go? Was there a problem? What happened? What was the issue there? But not just that. Now, that woman, if she made an error or if something happened, that woman now, her life is over. Her life finished. She's now going to be a convicted felon because, of course, if the DA decides to prosecute her, she's going to jail. That's for sure. Going to prison. Her life is over for sure. Whether she deserved it or not, all those people who work for her, they don't have jobs anymore. Their jobs are gone. They're done. And how about all the people who need childcare? All the mothers and fathers who need childcare and go to work. Gone. Everything was crushed because the first answer was arrest, put in jail. It wasn't even investigate. Arrest, put in jail. And everyone involved was like, yeah, great. Yeah, great. No one knows the repercussions. And let me ask you a very important question. Where's the victim? Was the kid in trouble? Was the kid scarred? Did the kid get hit by a car? I don't know. You ask all these questions, No one even mentioned it. Don't get me wrong. If there was a victim, did the kid get hit by a car? Was the kid scarred? Was the kid picked up by somebody? Okay, there's a victim. I got that. None of that happened. And the kid walked to the corner. Someone saw him, called 911. Now someone's life is ruined. Jobs are lost. And on top of that, people don't have their child care anymore. All of that because of that. Terrible. Anyway, let me keep going. I'm going to take Jordan. Jordan, how are you? Jordan, are you there? Okay, Jordan is not there. We are having horrible problems today. I apologize. Let me try one more. Let's see if I can get one more. Can I get Edwin? Edwin, are you there? Okay, no phone calls tonight. We're done. No more phone calls, guys. Don't bother calling. Sorry, things are broken. Instead, if you would, text, if you would instead. We'll try to answer your questions through text. Next time, we'll see if we can figure it out. We'll try it that way again. So, yes, as Benjamin says, no victim, no crime. That's what I'm always saying. I'm always saying no victim, no crime. I'm always saying, why in the world would you want to ruin someone's life? Why in the world would you want to get rid of all those jobs? What do you know how hard it is? And some of you do. For some of you, this is actually a real thing you do with every day. Do you know how hard it is to find good childcare? It's hard. It is really hard. And someone else now lost their childcare. Was this woman that bad? I have no idea. No one bothered asking. It was arrest first. Ask questions later, if ever. That was the answer. And there was no one who was reporting, not the reporter on this on there, not any of the witnesses, no one going, did you do anything wrong? Was someone hurt? No one even asked that question. It was just blatant. She's horrible. She's wrong. Crush her. Shut her down. This is what I'm trying to avoid. We can't have... I was teaching a class just 2 weeks ago. One of the big departments here in New York City, one of the government agencies. I'm teaching a class on leadership and performance management and things of that sort. One of the things I mentioned was you can't have a situation to where everything is based just on punishment. And they say, well, Larry, you don't want to punish people? Sometimes you should. You make a mistake, you gotta punish. Sure. It can't be only punishment. It can't be only punishment. If it's only punishment and nothing else, you're never going to change the behavior. You're never going to change the mindset. The goal of any performance management, of culture change, of environmental change, needs to be something very important, and that is ending the behavior, not punishing the offender. If you focus only on punishing the offender and nothing else, then guess what? People just get punished, but they keep doing bad stuff. How do we know? Look in New York State. How many people are going to jail? Look at now when that Trump's guy is going to jail. People keep going to jail. Are we less corrupt? No, because we never change the environment. Remember, the goal is to punish, not to change the behavior. That must be our goal. And one of the biggest things we come up with is, and you've heard me say it before, the zero tolerance idea. Boy, does zero tolerance sound good. It sounds so good. Zero tolerance. We will have zero tolerance for this. Every time you have zero tolerance, every time you make sure the elite win yet again. The junior people or the poor people or the lowest social class of whatever environment you're in will always pay a price and the seniors will win. That's what happens with no tolerance, because it focuses only on punishment, not on changing behavior. All right, I've yapped for a bit. I have to go on a quick break. I will come back and I'll talk to you about how no tolerance is a bad idea in just 2 minutes. Thanks.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
All right, guys, I am back. Larry Sharp at the Gov Shack. And I'll talk about zero tolerance. But let me first, someone asked the question about child support and how the state makes money from it. And I got to be very clear about this. I was the only candidate talking about how absolutely broken, just embarrassingly broken, our family court system is. Now, it's not just New York State, but New York State's one of the worst. Why do I bring this up? I didn't go through this. Like, I'm not divorced. I didn't get divorced and this, that, or something like that. That's not what happened, right? That's not how it works. I just saw how bad it is. Here's what happens. Judges, and you're going to want to vomit when I tell you this, so get a bucket nearby, actually get judged based upon how much child support they generate in family court. Now, why would that matter? Who cares? It's child support, right? Here's why. All child support goes through the state. And when it goes through the state gets its cut. It is a profit center. Yes, the state is making money from child support. That's shameful. That's horrible. That's embarrassing. We as a nation, as a state, should be ashamed of that. So now they actually judge them based upon it. Like, how much did you make? There's no different than someone judging a police officer by, how much money did you make? Oh, you made money. You're a good cop now because you got a bunch of tickets. Wow, that's terrible. And judges now, you're a good judge now because you generated a bunch of money. This is literally using law enforcement as a profit center. Who pays for that? You do. Of course you do. But here's the worst part. While the mom or dad pays, usually dad, but often mom too, who pays the most? The kid. And the kid or kids pay in the worst way. Not money, but emotionally. You can get more money. A lot easier to get more money. Not so easy to fix all those broken emotions. Not so easy to stop the horrible self-destructive behavior that comes from a broken family. Not so easy at all. Not so easy to fix it when you were a dad and then all of a sudden you're paying child support. And the amount of times I hear this just drive me crazy. Larry, I pay $1,300 a month. Larry, I pay $1,400. Larry, I pay $1,000 a month. I haven't seen my kid in 7 years. I haven't seen my kid in 4 years. I haven't seen my kid in 5 years. Does the court care? No, because the court makes money from you. And as long as you keep giving money, it's okay. But I'll go one step further. You have to pay child support often until the kid's 21, 22 years old, because college. How is that legal? How is it legal that you must pay another adult money? How's that legal? Look, if you have enough money and your kid wants to go to college and you're a parent, you're probably going to help your kid out anyway. That's the assumption most parents do. And if you have the money and you want to help your kid out, you should give your kid your money because you want to and it's your kid. Good for you. But the fact that a judge can order one adult to give another adult money for college or order an adult to give another adult money and they don't do it, they go to jail. How in the world is that legal? You know why it's legal? Because the state makes money. It's part of slush fund. Part of the money. Yes, I said it's part of slush fund. And on top of that, if they take your kids away, even better, take kids away, the federal government pays them. Yeah, that's a profit center. So CPS is also a profit center. Foster care is a profit center. You're saying to yourself, Larry, that can't be true. Do your own homework. 5-minute Google search. Do your own homework. You think I'm making any of this up? I said this for a year out there. A year. There are hundreds of thousands of New York State divorced fathers and mothers, but heavily fathers, who are getting hammered by the system. They didn't vote for me. They probably should have, because now I wouldn't be here talking about it. I'd be here and I'd be on major radio stations, major TV stations. In the last 2 to 3 months of my campaign, if you guys are paying attention, I was focusing heavily on the idea of what if the Republican comes in second or what if I come in second, because it seemed obvious that His Majesty was going to win again, and he did. And I said, if the Republican comes in second, nothing changes. And yeah, nothing's changing. But if I came in second, think what would have happened. I'd be on TV, I'd be on the radio talking about exactly this right now. I'd be saying this right now, how bad it is, what's wrong, so that then when you go to family court, you'd have a goddamn chance. You'd have a chance because I'd be saying this on TV, on the radio now. So guess what? You better tell your fathers who are getting beat up. You better tell your moms who are getting beaten up. They better get on the ball. And they better come here. And they better watch this show. And they better take care. Well, I wish they could donate, but they can't. Another reason why the people don't support this is because the people who've been hammered and destroyed in the family court system don't have any money. Why? Their money either goes to child support or it goes to lawyers. They don't have any money, so they can't. They're not big donors. That's why big politicians don't care about them, because you can't get money off them. Yet for some reason, I still care. And I still cared, and I still care now, and I'm still talking about it because it's a big issue. It's important. And the number one reason, believe it or not, isn't even the fathers. It is them. It's them. That's the biggest issue. The biggest issue are broken kids. And if you haven't noticed, we've had a massive increase in kid suicide, both attempts and successes. Over 30% since 2001. Huge increase in attempt suicide. Now, that's not all from family court. Obviously, there are many other reasons. But a big chunk of it is. Look at the prison system. Look at all the men in prison. And I said men because prison is far more men than women, not even close. Far more men than women. And look at how many of those men, young men, who are sitting in prison, who don't have fathers in their life. Yeah, a whole bunch of them. And why am I so angry about this? Because my father died when I was a kid. I didn't have a father as a teenager. I was desperately searching for male role models. And there are kids who have fathers, and a court makes them not show up. A court takes the father away. Some judge does that so he can keep his numbers up. That's what we have. Yeah, I get a little passionate about this. I don't like it. It drives me crazy. Every time I went to a father's rights event, here are the similar things I heard. Everyone there knew someone who was arrested. Everyone there knew somebody who was now a felon because, not because they did something wrong, meaning like they hurt somebody or robbed a liquor store, but because they wanted two things. One, they didn't pay their bills. Number one, debtor's prison now. How is that legal? Or two, because they unknowingly violated some restrictive letter that had no due process. Not just that. They all knew somebody who had committed suicide. That's where we are. But you know what? Vote Democrat or Republican because they care. Vote Democrat or Republican because they care. They don't. You don't see them ranting. You just don't even bring it up. No one's even talking about it. They won't even touch it. All right. Hold on. Let's see. What is the libertarian solution for government taking care of handicapped/severely ill people? Yes. Thank you, Bob. This is a great question. if you have anyone, and I will make a generic term to cover all of that as special needs. So I'll use that as a generic term. The problem is when you say handicapped or severely ill, is there so many gradations there, right? Is it someone who was born with a physical handicap or born with a mental handicap, or they then got that mental disability or later on got that physical disability, right? They were they lost their arm or leg in Iraq or Afghanistan, or they were born, whatever. So it's a very wide term. So that's why I got to be specific on how more specific on how I deal with this. As a general rule, if you have anyone in your life who has special needs, the number one thing you're concerned about is them getting better. The reason why I have to say getting better is for some people, right, for one special needs kid or friend or family member, tying their shoe in the morning is a big deal. For the next one, it's what job can they hold? And everything in between. Huge gap. So how in the world can I decide what box you fit in? That's what government does. Government says, you fit in this box, you fit in that box. Well, how is that possible when the spectrum of disability or spectrum of challenge is so massive? Physical, mental, combination, is it learning disability? Are they on the autistic spectrum? What is it? Huge gaps. My goal is making things better, getting better. Number one issue, stop focusing on services. Second, stop focusing on services. Second, focus on getting better, which means you've got to do things like, I'm not even joking, surveys, questions, guidelines, benchmarks. Are kids making benchmarks? Are people making benchmarks? But there's one more piece of severely ill, and that is sometimes they get to one point where there's no better. And if you have someone in your life like that, you know at one point, there's no better. Now it's just how can we maintain quality of life until the person doesn't care about their quality of life anymore, right? So that could be the next step also. How do we deal with that? You can't do that with services. That doesn't work. You have to be able to say, are you then getting to that next level of what is their quality of life? How can you maintain that? And one of the easy ways of doing that, believe it or not, is creating non-government competition. This thing we brought up in my last campaign was called a charitable choice credit. It's a choice where you can now take some of your tax money and give that tax money that would have gone to the tax man, and instead it goes to a nonprofit. Does it get rid of the government option? No, government option still exists. Of course it does. It exists. And another option can exist. What happens? They begin to compete for the customer. Why? When you're a government organization, the customer is the government. The government's paying you, which means you check the box. That's all that matters. If your mom or dad gets rolled 14 times a night because the rules say so, even though it wakes her up every single night and things are horrible for her and she hates being there, too bad, check a box. But now when I have the other option, they roll her once or twice a night because that's what's good for her. That makes you happy because your mom's taken care of and you keep sending your money there. What will happen? The state government organization will either get better or it will eventually be defunded. That is our answer. The answer is to stop focusing on checkboxes, stop focusing on services, but to focus on actually happy customers, which means getting people better for those who can't get better, maintaining quality of life through benchmarks and through surveys, and on top of that, providing actual competition to make it better. I hope I answered that question. But again, that's about making things right, not checking a box. So many people who are in government-funded facilities are unhappy. People who are happy, those who are wealthy, and they go to the private market where they're the actual customer. All right, guys, I got to run. Please support me, LarrySharp.com. Go there, hit donate. Let's make this keep happening. $5 a month, $10 a month, $50 a month, whatever you can swing. Do it now. Let's keep this going. We got some more years to make some change in New York State. We got some more years to make change in the United States. This is a good movement with good ideas, with real answers. Support, share, donate. Stay connected. I will see you after the new year. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Kwanzaa. For those of you, I think Hanukkah's still going. The end of Happy Hanukkah. Well, Festivus, whatever's your thing. Enjoy. I will see you all in the new year.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio, Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.